Welcome. You're listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on Ayers Allais are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted. There's something new on Ayers Allais every day. Hello, this is Roger Baker, and every Friday we bring you helpful information about a subject that's of interest to just about everyone. Health. The following is an article from the online website medicalnewstoday.com. The article was written by Tim Newman. Microplastics in the brain. How can we avoid exposure? A new commentary article, which appears in the journal Brain Medicine, discusses microplastics and their links to health. Below, we outline the main topics touched upon in the commentary and ask whether it is possible to reduce exposure to these omnipresent shards of polymer. Microplastics are getting into our brains. Plastic does not biodegrade. Instead, it slowly breaks down into ever smaller pieces. Microplastics, as the name suggests, are the microscopic debris that packaging will eventually become. Because of the way in which plastic gradually breaks down, microplastics come in a wide range of sizes. This means that they are the right size for every animal on Earth to swallow or breathe in. Because of this variety in size and their sheer ubiquity, they are present in every food chain and on every dinner plate in the land. According to the authors of a review on the topic, emissions of microplastics to the environment are estimated to be between 10 and 40 million tons per year, and under business-as-usual scenarios, this amount could double by 2040. Research into microplastics is still in its infancy, but already, scientists are unearthing worrying links. For instance, there is some evidence that microplastics in the blood might negatively impact heart health. Other scientists have also found microplastics in lungs, and evidence that they might impact fertility and the gut microbiome. Similarly, a study published this year found more microplastics in human brains than in any other organ. It also showed that people who died in 2024 had, on average, 50% more microplastics in their brains than people who died just 8 years earlier. Clearly, this is a growing issue. How to reduce exposure to microplastics. The term microplastics first appeared in a scientific paper just over 20 years ago. Since then, interest has grown exponentially, but scientists are still trying to understand what factors influence an individual's exposure and how to minimize it. Although avoiding them entirely is impossible, the authors of the recent commentary include some science-backed ways to reduce exposure. Below, we outline their advice, including input from our experts. 1. Water, bottled, tap, and boiled. A study in the journal Environmental Science and Technology concludes that switching from bottled water to tap water could reduce intake of microplastics from 90,000 each year to 4,000. While that is a sizable reduction, it's worth bearing in mind that these calculations compare someone who only drinks bottled water with someone who only drinks tap water. Most people are likely to be somewhere in between these two scenarios. In the same study, bottled water was the second greatest source of microplastics. In first place was the air that we breathe, not something we could easily avoid, and seafood was in third position. According to the authors, these three accounted for the large majority of microplastic intake. In another study, scientists identified a relatively simple, although time-consuming method of reducing microplastics in water. They showed that boiling water, then pouring it through a coffee filter, could remove up to 90% of the microplastics. 2. Are tea bags safe? Historically, tea bags were made of paper. Today, as with so much else, they contain plastics. A 2019 study, also in Environmental Science and Technology, investigated whether tea bags would shed plastic into the final beverage. When they steeped a single tea bag in 95 degrees Celsius water, it released well over 14 billion microplastics in the final drink. For people who enjoy tea, it might be worth searching for manufacturers who produce tea bags without plastic, or switching to loose-leaf teas and a good old-fashioned tea strainer. 3. How to reduce exposure around the home. MNT contacted Aidan Charon, Associate Director at Global Earth Day, who organized the yearly Earth Day event. "It is inside our homes that we are the most exposed," he explained. "Anything made of nylon or polyester, clothes, furniture, curtains, carpets, cushions, toys, pet toys, you name it, are shedding microplastic fibers all the time." He recommended sweeping or vacuuming as much as possible, and if you can, do not buy polyester or nylon-covered bedding, towels, underwear, furniture, rugs, or carpets, which all shed microplastics. M&T also reached out to Lisa Ertle, Ph.D., Director of Science and Innovation at the Five Gyres Institute, a research-based non-governmental organization with 15 years of expertise studying microplastic pollution. She suggested installing a microfiber-catching filter to laundry machines and dryers, opting for home textiles, curtains, couches, rugs, made from natural fibers instead of synthetic. 4. Avoid plastic utensils in the kitchen. When we heat up food in microwavable plastics, microplastics leach directly into our food, Sharon explained to M&T. He recommended not heating food in plastic containers or on plastic plates. It's the same when we use plastic utensils, straws, chopping boards, pans, plates, anything, he continued. Instead, he suggested opting for natural materials like glass, wood, bamboo, and cotton where possible. Along similar lines, Ertle recommended avoiding plastic packaging, especially when microwaving, and using metal or glass for cooking and storage. She also suggested avoiding ultra-processed foods, which are often sold in plastic containers, and have many opportunities to pick up plastic contamination during manufacture. 5. Reduce the use of beauty products. Use as few toiletries as possible, because they often contain plastic chemicals like phthalates, Sharon also advised. Plus, the plastic packaging industry in the beauty and personal care market creates vast amounts of plastic pollution. According to him, in the United States in 2018 alone, the beauty industry alone produced 7.9 billion units of rigid plastic packaging. Similarly, Ertle suggested choosing personal care and cleaning products without plastic microbeads. Microbeads are tiny plastic spheres found in a wide range of cosmetics. Although the U.S. has banned the use of microbeads in rinse-off products, they are still allowed in many cosmetics that are not rinsed off. Is there any hope for the future? We asked Ertle about the future of packaging and whether there are any hopeful innovations on the horizon. She explained that certain biomaterials may eventually help wean society off plastic. However, there are many challenges. Plastic is popular for a reason. It is incredibly cheap to produce, easy to mold and shape, and, unfortunately, lasts for a very long time. Regardless, Ertle has hope. While biomaterials are not functional replacements for all plastic products, we've seen a lot of potential in using biomaterials to replace thin film, she told us. Sadly, because consumers are now looking for more eco-friendly products, some manufacturers are using eco-friendly claims to make their products more appealing. For instance, packaging labeled biodegradable does not specify under which conditions it will degrade. Research by Five Gyres Institute shows that the thickness of the material and the environment it is placed in make a sizable difference to whether something truly biodegrades. Microplastics and their role in health is a rapidly developing and concerning field of research. For now, following the above recommendations may limit an individual's exposure, but we need much more research to understand how microplastics influence health and to develop new materials that can finally kick plastics out of our homes. If you want to learn more about Ayers LA and the types of programs we offer, follow us by clicking on any of the social media links at the top of our webpages. If you like what you see or hear, please click the like button. This podcast is for the sole use of our blind and print-impaired audience. Any unauthorized use is prohibited. We'll be back again next Friday with more helpful information related to your health. I'm Roger Baker.